We're doing the Drashot Taran. We're up to the sixth speech. Taran has been developing many concepts now, and the Ran discussed the importance of a person's thoughts, the importance of where a person's heart and mind is. We quoted from the Shulchan Aruch in support of this idea that it's not only a Hasidic concept. He quoted from the Talmud, and he developed this idea that there's so much depth to each mitzvah, and there's so much depth to the kavanah that a person can have. So although on the one hand we are responsible to perform all 613, we have to realize that our thoughts carry a tremendous weight when it comes to the mitzvot. And he quoted from the Rambam, where the Rambam, Maimonides and the Guide to the Perplexed, discusses this idea that the most important or the most honorable part of the body is the mind. And when a person sins with the mind, for example, he transgresses one of the Ten Commandments, he covets something he shouldn't, so then he is sinning with one of the most important parts of his body. And therefore, that sin can have weight corresponding to the limb that's used with the sin. Ordinarily, we think, what's the big deal if I thought about that? No, the Rambam says the exact opposite. You've used one of the greatest tools God has given you to think something improper. So that was the Rambam. And he developed, I'm summarizing many pages, but he developed this idea that our thoughts carry a tremendous weight in the performance of mitzvot and aveirot, not to be underestimated. Now he continues, and we'll start again with Adayin Yesh Li L'Chadesh Ba. The Ran says, I still have a new point to point out in this. We're up to page Reish Lamed Vav in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. What page is it by you? Kuf Dalet in the Machon Shalem edition. Ki mi she'osa averot ve'ino ose tshuva mehen, because if someone sins and does not repent, so he's doing the same thing day in, day out. Ezo machshava v'shorosh ra poreh belibo. There's some problem at the root in his heart. There's a reason that he lets himself get away with this time and again. He's not talking about a person in Machon Meir who's in the tshuva process, who just discovered Shabbos and he says, well, I'm going to work on Shabbos, I'm not yet working on kashrus. Obviously, a person's growth has to be gradual, and he's not going to be held accountable just because his growth is gradual. Because the only type of growth that's consistent is growth that's gradual. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a person that's already at a point where he's keeping mitzvot already for many years, and there's something which he doesn't care to do. Or he knows he's wrong, he knows he should fix that, and he doesn't bother. So not because he's going to get to it because he's in a part of the process and he can't do everything at once. That's normal, that's right. You can't do any other way. There's no other way to grow in tshuva. You have to do things over time. But if you have a person, he's from birth, he grew up Orthodox, he's been doing everything, but you know what? He takes a smoke on Shabbos. You guys think it's far-fetched? I've seen it. I was once in a public bathroom, and I'm smelling someone smoking. And then I happened to see the guy come out of the bathroom, yarmulke and all. You tell yourself, okay, I can't judge a person. What kind of yetzer hara a person must have to have a smoke on Shabbos? But when a person sees that he's doing something time and again, so then there's something wrong internally. There's something wrong. I said we can't judge a person. Right. I acknowledge that. I'll tell you another secret. You know, another hardship that our generation has, believe it or not, you guys need to know this for your kids, texting on Shabbos. Yeah. You know how many text messages go on Shabbos? Facebook, text. I don't even know I heard yesterday this whole program, WhatsApp, right? I don't even know, whatever. Okay, I'm not in with the times anymore. I've been out of the times for 2 months, and that's it. The whole world changed on me, right? That's today's technological world. But at any rate, the Ran says, a person that finds himself repeatedly, he repeats the same sin over time and again, that means there's something wrong in his heart. Because otherwise, how does he lose something precious, put himself in a situation for grave punishment, if not that there's really a problematic root, an evil root in his heart? And here we start discerning between the different groups of wicked people. You have those that the reason he comes to sin is because he denies God's existence. That's what the verse says, that you have this derelict who says, there is no potent being, there is no judge, and then he allows himself to do everything. He says, there's no one who's going to do anything good in the world. There's no God. So you have those people who the reason they sin is because they don't recognize, that they're not willing to admit there's a creator. Then you have people who say, yeah, there's a God. Do you think he cares what I do? You guys have probably heard this a lot, right? So that's the second level. It's been around for ages. You have those people who say, sure, there's a creator, but he's so big, he's not watching what's going on down here. Kilmro, as we have another verse that says in Psalms, Al meni etz rasha elokim amar velibo lo tidrosh. Why does the wicked one blaspheme? Because he says to himself, you're never going to take him to task over it. So King David already said these two types of people. You have those that say God doesn't exist. You have those that say he exists, but you really think he's following what's going on down here. And then you have people that they start saying, maybe he knows what's going on down here, but you really think he's going to pay you for it, pay you for the good or pay you for the bad. They say, look around. Like I hear this claim at least once a week. Don't you see, who said it last? I don't care who said it, but what did they say? How good Stalin had it? What was that claim, right? Last week, a week ago today. So then you have people who say, look, bad people have it good too. So maybe God exists, and maybe he knows what's going on. But you see that it doesn't really matter what you do, because there is no sachar and onish. That's what King Solomon said. Just as a drunken person stands among the roses and he thinks, let me get a rose, right? And then he leans over in his drunken state and he pulls out a thorn. So that Shlomo Amer says, Choach ala biyad shikur. The drunken person stands there wanting to get a rose, and all he gets is a thorn, because his fine motor skills are not exactly intact under the influence. So by the same token, he says, Umashal defi kisilim. So too, the fools give allegories. You guys probably noticed that people try to prove their point from stories. Well, you can make up any story in the world. There was this guy who was so pious, and he was so good, and he was so kind, and he lost his wife, and he lost his kids, and his house burnt down, and he suffered to death. Okay, I told you the story. What did that prove? Nothing. You can tell stories, you can make up stories, and the fool thinks that the allegory proves the point. As we discussed earlier, the Ran spent a whole section discussing that the allegory's job is to connect our mind with concepts that are beyond the physical world. The point of the allegory is to help us connect to real concepts. So he developed it much more than that. But there are concepts that we have a hard time perceiving. Through the allegory, we bring it down to our level. But the fool, instead of bringing out an allegory that will be productive, he's like the drunk trying to get a rose, and he ends up with a thorn.
Is that a good allegory?
I guess so. Shlomo Amel said it. And then the pasuk continues and says, Rav mecholel kol, the omnipotent, he causes everything. V'socher kesil v'socher overim. There's a parenthesis here. I don't know if this is him talking or not, but it seems like it is. So we'll read the Ran's interpretation of the pasuk, which is what I was summarizing here, just because it's parenthetical, but I see that some versions quote it in the Ran's name, so I'd rather read it. Perush. Kasher ha-shikor ha-omid ben ha-shoshanim. I'm just reading out what we described until now. When you have a drunk person standing among roses, lifamim choshev lilkot shoshan, sometimes he means to pick a rose, v'oleh biyado choach, and he ends up, because of his drunkenness, he ends up with a thorn. Ken ha-kesil, so too the fool, choshev lamshin meshalim mo'ilim, he thinks to say allegories that will be beneficial, Kasher kibun bamshalim la'ishir hanefesh. Because the whole point of an allegory is to help a person straighten his soul, to get things right, to understand things correctly. And instead of an allegory that will be productive, he ends up with a thorn, something that really hurts him.
We have an allegory telling us that allegories are nonsense?
Not that allegories are nonsense, but that the fools misapply allegories. They mean to bring out a good concept and they end up holding a thorn, something that's hurtful to themselves. When it means in his mouth, when it says mashal befi kisilim, what it means is that the fools repeatedly say allegories that really are hurtful to themselves, like the drunk with the thorn. Because the one who is behind everything in the world is Rav, is the Ribon Shalom, the great master. V'socher kesil v'socher overim. So the Ran continues, Eino makpid ben ovrei retzono le'ovdav, hakol etzelo shave socher kulam. And this great one who controls everything, the fool says, he is socher kesil v'socher overim. He is willing to hire the fools. He is willing to hire overim, those that transgress his will. Look at that. So the fool, he means to say something productive, but really he ends up with a thorn. What does he say that he thinks is so smart? And you'll notice people till today think they're so smart when they say this. I don't know if you notice this, but I see it every time. Oh, the Ribono Shel Olam is so great, but look, he helps the people who sin, and you don't see them dropping dead, and he helps the people who do what he wants, and he doesn't really discern. Everyone makes the same parnasa, everyone seems to be doing okay. So the Shlomo HaMelech refers to people who speak that way, like the drunk who tries to pick the rose. So to the fool thinks he's saying something intelligent, he's really hurting himself, and this is what he says. He says, God, who really caused everything, look at him, he hires the fool just like he hires those that transgress his will. You see, he deals with everyone the same. So he comes back and he says, okay, so we describe three types of sinners. Either God doesn't exist, or God doesn't know what's going on down here, or he knows and doesn't care, right? But here, says the Ran, what do we see? That the thought is really what causes the action. This is the great strength of philosophy. This is why smart people read Mein Kampf and fled. Because what a person says and what a person thinks carries weight. That's why the state of Israel takes what Ahmadinejad says so seriously. We don't just say, oh, he's bluffing or who knows what. We say, no. He's telling you something, and the thought is pivotal, because the thought is what guides a person to action. When a person thinks there is no God, so he behaves like there is no God. When a person thinks God doesn't care, so he behaves like God doesn't care. So then the Ran comes back to the point he was discussing. Our thoughts can sometimes carry more weight than our actions, because our thoughts can lead our whole lives. You do one sin, a person eats non-kosher. You did one thing wrong. But if you approach things and say, God doesn't care what I do, now you've opened the Pandora's box. Now the whole life could go down the wrong path. Ki ha'ochel chelev enakim avera achat. If someone eats forbidden food, chelev. So that's fats that are non-kosher. So he has one sin. V'amachshava yisoter pinot ha'torah. But when a person has thoughts, he can deny the most fundamental points of the Torah. Corresponding to this, our sages said, person doesn't sin unless a spirit of foolishness enters him. What they meant to say is, a person doesn't do a sin, he doesn't do a sin unless he has this spirit of foolishness. And the idea here is he's thinking to deny a central point of the Torah. Now the Ran doesn't spell this out what he means here, and I think the way to understand the Ran over here is in line with what we saw with the Ran earlier in this book, and that is that if you ask a person, does God exist? Ask a religious Jew, does God exist? Yes. Does he know what's going on? Yes. Does he care about what's going on? Yes. So why'd you eat that non-kosher food? Meaning every sin we do, if we'd really think about what we fundamentally believe, then we wouldn't do it. So then why do we do it? because on some level we don't really believe. And the action is really a contradiction of one of the fundamentals of faith. It's not just that I was overtaken, I really wanted that candy bar. No, it's more than that. It's that on some level, I don't really connect to the idea that God exists, is watching, and is going to pay me back for it. Because if I did, then I wouldn't be doing this. And that is the Ran's interpretation earlier to the idea that a person doesn't sin unless the spirit of foolishness enters him. Meaning, talk to him when he's not looking at the candy bar, and he'll tell you, I believe it, because he does. But for that fleeting moment, he's willing to, so to speak, put that on the side. That's the spirit of foolishness. That is, you ask him, your whole life you've been living in accordance with these principles. Do you believe it? Yes, I do. No question. I do, but sometimes I have the spirit of foolishness. And that's when I let myself do what I shouldn't be doing. That's the Ran's earlier interpretation, and that's what I think the Ran is alluding to here, even though here he doesn't spell it out. So those moments of weakness are what's called the spirit of foolishness, where I let myself get away with not connecting, but I'm letting myself get away with not connecting with the most pivotal points of the Torah. So that's a roshtut, that's foolishness. Okay?